John Bachman, who pierces people's face. The K is for the kill, L is for the lover, and the M is for the mutiny, and I wish it didn't happen.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my drum?
Now the N is for knots, oh no, my bones are sinking. The B is for the peg leg that keeps me standing up. A Q is for quantum leap, R is for the rum, and the S is for the scurvy, which I wish I didn't get.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg.
That's underneath my boat. And B is for Mukitas, who plays a sour note. W is Tiasis, X marks a spot. Why? Cause I'm a pirate.
Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, arg, arg, arg. Pirate radio, pirate radio, pirate radio, where's my grog?
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to WSQTRadio@hushmail.com. Repeat, WSQTRadio@hushmail.com.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center at www.imemc.org for Tuesday, March 5th, 2013. Israeli troops harassed 6 Palestinians during dawn invasions targeting West Bank communities and settlers uproot olive trees owned by local farmers. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Six Palestinian civilians were arrested on Tuesday by Israeli troops during military invasions that targeted the southern West Bank city of Hebron and Nablus city in the northern West Bank. According to Palestinian sources, the Israeli army invaded the old city part of Hebron, searched a number of homes, then took 3 men away. A fourth man from Hebron was arrested from his workplace inside Israel, local sources added. Meanwhile, in Nablus city, soldiers stormed residents' homes and searched them, then arrested 2 residents. The Israeli army gave no reason for the arrests on Tuesday. On Monday, Israeli troops arrested 17 Palestinian men during dawn invasions targeting a number of West Bank communities. Later on Tuesday, Israeli settlers uprooted around 80 olive trees that belongs to Palestinian farmers from the village of Nahalin near the southern West Bank city of Bethlehem. Residents said that settlers from the nearby illegal settlement of Beit Ain came and destroyed their trees. The residents called on international human rights groups to help them and added that this is not the first time Israeli settlers attack their olive trees. Nahalin farmers depend mostly on olive trees and fruit trees for their income. Also near Bethlehem, a 17-year-old boy was attacked by Israeli soldiers at the entrance of Beit Jala town on Monday night. Witnesses said that Malik Adawi was on his way home when soldiers stopped him at what the locals called the DCO military checkpoint and beat him up. Adawi was moved later to Bethlehem Hospital for treatment. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Tuesday, March 5th News Roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by Hussam Kassis and me, Ghassan Banoura.
Afghanistan, 5th of March. 15 missiles set to be fired at the Afghan parliament were found before they could be fired. They were set up in Char Azim area, and it appears they were to be fired at an opening ceremony for parliament. Afghanistan, 3rd of March. At least one Afghan woman was killed and two others wounded following a shooting in Kabul on Sunday evening. The incident reportedly took place in Kardisi area of Kabul after security guards of Jamil Karzai, formerly of the Afghan parliament, opened fire on the civilian vehicle. Afghanistan, 3rd of March. NATO admitted their troops killed two 7-year-old boys Thursday, the 28th of February, in Uruzgan province. Quote, the two boys were shot dead when they were mistaken for insurgents during an operation in the northwest of Uruzgan on February 28th. U.S. General Joseph Dunford, commando of NATO forces in Afghanistan, continued, quote, I offer my personal apology and condolences to the families of the boys who were killed. No apology can make up for killing small children. How can you mistake a 7-year-old for a fighting man? Another report points out it was Australian troops who killed the boys, one of them 7, one of them 8 years old. Mr. Barack Obama, 11 years of this is 11 years too long. Bring all the troops home today.
This is WSQT Direct Action Radio, broadcasting on 90.5 FM from Washington, D.C. If you can hear this signal and you like what you hear, send an email to wsqtradio@hushmail.com. Repeat, wsqtradio@hushmail.com.
You might have heard of AIPAC, the American Israeli Political Action Committee. Each year they hold their combined convention and congressional bribe fest at the Washington Convention Center, drawing numerous protesters. This year, about 100 protesters showed up on Sunday, the 3rd of March. One of them said the behavior of Israel makes her afraid to admit to being Jewish when she travels abroad.
It pains me as a Jew to see AIPAC here thinking that somehow they're going to build a better world, whether it's for Jews in Israel or anybody, by stealing people's lands, demolishing their homes, torturing people in prison, and giving Jews around the whole world a bad name. I mean, I'm in danger when I go traveling around the world. I'm afraid to say that I'm Jewish, and I don't want to live like that. And so we're really saying to the people inside here that they should live by the values that they should have been taught, like I was taught as a Jew. You don't steal other people's lands. You love thy neighbor. Thou shalt not kill. Those are the values we want them to live by, right?
Yes! Yes!
Yeah!
A woman from Gaza spoke on a situation there.
She's from Gaza.
I came here last August. Anyway, we all know Israel, what Israel is capable of doing. Just killing children, civilians. I lived by war for 23 days in constant operation. And I know what Israel is capable of doing. Just killing civilians and children. And they say this is self-defense. Right? Is this self-defense?
Especially ugly is what AIPAC is bribing members of Congress to support.
There are a couple of things that they're going to be lobbying for on Tuesday. And one of them is this sounds like, oh, it's just to support Israel, and then you go down to the last line in it, and it says, if Israel invades Iran out of self-defense, and it's always out of self-defense, right, the U.S. will support Israel economically, politically, and militarily.
The March 3rd protests culminated in the setting of symbolic checkpoints in front of the convention center and then a march of blindfolded protesters, each wearing the name of a Palestinian political prisoner on hunger strike. One by one, some of the names were read off, along with how long each detainee has been on a hunger strike.
Zahid Halabla, on hunger strike for 77 days.
Yunus al-Haram, 3 days. Rafa Benzin, 89 days. Hana Shalali, 43 days.
The hunger strikers have not been convicted nor charged with anything. Instead, they are being held under Israeli law that allows administrative detention for renewable six-month periods of any Palestinian for any reason. The hunger strikers are demanding that they be either charged or released. Hey, members of Congress taking money from AIPAC and eating fat foods at the convention center while others starve, you are responsible for this. On the 4th of April, while hunger strikers in Palestine were doing entirely without food to protest administrative detention, U.S. senators and members of Congress dined on fat fare at the Washington Convention Center with AIPAC, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee. To get into the convention center and eat these fattening foods, they had to run a gauntlet of protesters outside, outraged at Israeli behavior towards the Palestinians and unconditional American support for Israel.
Representatives are going into AIPAC tonight because AIPAC is a dangerous lobby that has a stranglehold over our foreign policy and is making us hated throughout the world because of our unconditional support for Israel, which is an apartheid state that is currently brutally militarily occupying the West Bank.
More than shame for members of the American Congress to go into AIPAC and take fat bags of campaign cash from agents of a foreign country. Not only should it be illegal, it probably is illegal.
People, you are not supporting the American people when you walk in there.
Absolutely.
Controversy erupted on the Yale University campus in late January when the Yale Herald newspaper reported that the Pentagon Special Operations Command had recently awarded Charles Morgan, a professor of psychiatry at Yale's medical school, a $1.8 million grant to teach interviewing methods to U.S. Army Green Berets using New Haven's local immigrant population as volunteer paid test subjects. The objective of the Center for Excellence for Operational Neuroscience that Morgan hoped to direct is to improve the quality of military intelligence that will be applied by the Pentagon in the field and in combat zones around the world. Yale students, faculty, community, and immigrants' rights groups quickly mobilized opposition to the military research project, objecting to the militarization of the Yale campus and what they viewed as ethically suspect interrogation training that would target local immigrants. By February 22nd, a student online petition against the training center had garnered more than 650 signatures with planned protests. But as opposition surfaced, the Department of Defense retracted an earlier statement that confirmed it was providing Yale funds for the center, declaring that the Pentagon has not and will not provide Yale funds to establish Morgan's research project. Robert J. Alpern, dean of Yale Medical School, issued a press release stating, "We are not moving forward on any such center until we have fully investigated all these issues." Your reporter spoke with Chris Hebdon, a doctoral student in anthropology at Yale, who discusses the current status of the research center and why student, faculty, and community groups came together to challenge the ethics of military research on campus.
There were some of us who were interested in organizing discussions about drone bombings, and we were in touch with each other, and I got involved by talking with a student in the French department and an undergraduate at Yale College who wrote an op-ed in the Daily News and tried to connect with immigrant activists in New Haven to rally around this issue.
I'll just quote from a statement released by Yale School of Medicine Dean Robert Alpern that was published last week. "Members of the Yale and New Haven communities have raised concerns about a possible Center for Operational Neuroscience that was reported in the press. In light of the issues raised, we are not moving forward on any such center until we have fully investigated all these issues." Now, until we have fully investigated all these issues sounds like this program may very well be still alive and well.
Yeah, there was a lot of ambiguity in what the university said and also what the military said. The short history of it is that when we wrote to the Pentagon, they confirmed that such a grant was initiated and so forth. And we talked to the university, and they said that this research was under review and that it was going to be, you know, held according to all the strict standards of Yale's research protocols. But within 24 hours, we heard from the military that no grant had ever been given, and that no grant would be given. And 24 hours later, we heard again from the military that this grant was denied in 2012, a year ago. And Yale, yes, has said that no such thing will proceed until a proper, you know, investigation of it or review has been done. But they certainly haven't been clear. I think what's really important, though, is that even if this program doesn't proceed at Yale, who's to say it's not going to take place at another university that is more broke or needs the money? So I think that's the reason to keep up discussion and get some open debate at Yale, also at other universities, and with the wider New Haven community.
Chris, it's certainly true that there are many military-funded research projects on the Yale campus itself and across the country. What do you know about other military-funded experiments and research going on that may be below the radar and, you know, as objectionable as this one? Or is there some kind of policy on campus that would enable students, the faculty, and the New Haven community at large to gain some transparency into these programs to better know what's being done on the campus?
There's no formal procedures. So if a biologist submits something for National Science Foundation, once a proposal is approved, it becomes public. Same thing for NIH, for example, publicly funded research. DOD is also publicly funded, but it is not made available even after it's approved. So under the radar is exactly the right statement. This is something that apparently we wouldn't have known about. I mean, this operational special ops center was slated to open in just a month or two, and we hadn't heard anything about it. And the issue of militarization in universities, but also issues of militarization in the United States, are general. It's not just at Yale. So you have CIA-funded centers for intelligence studies and national security studies. You see this at places like University of Maryland, University of Washington, lots of other schools. And these types of programs highlight the problems with the difference of priorities between academic and foreign policy goals. So national security studies is not an academic field. It's a military objective and a political objective. And so I think that this is why we need a debate with the community, in the media with professors and students who really bring this stuff out in the open. Yale has a long history of involvement with the military and continues right through to today. You know, we have Stanley McChrystal teaching classes here for the last couple of years in the Jackson Institute of Global Affairs. And this was also very controversial and highlights the problems with academia and military involvement, which is that his students were not allowed to take their notes out of class and talk about them. So there's secrecy. And that's very antithetical to the liberal arts university, but to open inquiry in any university. And we're hoping to get more people around the United States, and especially in New Haven, talking about these things.
That was Chris Hebdon, a doctoral student in anthropology at Yale University. Find more information and discussion on military research in academia on our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.
On the 25th of February, anarchists in Seattle burned partially built townhouses that were supposed to be green, but whose promises of false greenwashing and gentrification. They posted this communique at www.anarchistnews.org. Quote, "Just before midnight, Monday the 25th of February, we strolled over to the townhouses under construction on 24th and Norman in the Central District. After slipping inside, we set one ablaze. Oh, what ease. Oh, what fun. Sustainable development is a myth that makes us sick. By furthering gentrification and ecological destruction, these buildings dress up disastrous progress, promising a green future that will never be. Our attack was just one more opportunity to joyously reject the status quo. It was another attempt to shed the subjugated subjectivity forced upon us by capital and the state. We act against civil society and its attempts at domestication. Fuck that shit. Solidarity with Maddie, Carrie, and all the silent ones still facing repression by the federal grand jury. We will not cower in fear. We will not remain docile in the face of state terror. Now is the time to attack. Enemies abound. Weapons are everywhere. Join us, some anarchists." On the 1st of March, another group of anarchists trashed the offices of a pro-gentrification land office in Oakland, California. They posted this communique at www.anarchistnews.org. Quote, "The racist drive for capital and its methods of development have erased, exploited, and colonized our neighborhoods since the birth of the modern city. After taking the best land for themselves, the rich stuff us into ghettos and barrios where they criminalize our survival and suffocate us of any resources. Gentrification is a process whereby the rich resurrect the dead property values of our neighborhoods to make money by encouraging better-off white people to move in, taking our homes, and funneling our bodies into the prison industrial complex. The Koreatown Northgate Project, or KONO, is one appendage to the monster that is gentrification, attempting to connect downtown Oakland with a Temescal shopping district. Last night, less than 24 hours before First Friday, a property management office that promotes gentrification along the KONO corridor was attacked by breaking the windows, setting off a fire extinguisher, and shooting paint into the office, forcing the office to close during its main monthly event. The gentrifying force at its First Fridays was done to show these rich bastards that Oakland will not be gentrified without a fight." Posted by Not White. Meanwhile, fugitive anarchist Carrie Cunin, who has refused to appear before a grand jury conducting a witch hunt into anarchists and Occupy activists in Seattle, released this statement from underground. "I refuse to appear because I despise the state. They are working to undo everything that anarchists stand for. I refuse to help them on the principle that prisons should be abolished. I refuse them because I am in complete support of the crimes they are investigating. I refuse them with a visceral hatred for the law and all of the lives they ruin. I am glad for the little bit of resistance I can provide in denying them information. I respect and admire Matt, Kideo, and Maddie for making the sacrifice that is involved in sitting for an undetermined jail sentence. I am just not personally willing to take a step in the direction of my own jail cell. Carrie Cunin." The other folks mentioned, fellow grand jury resistors Matt, Kideo, and Maddie, have spent months in jail for refusing to snitch. Two of them were just released on the grounds that 5 months in confinement showed that they would never snitch, and therefore their confinement was punitive, The third, Matthew Pfeiffer, is still being held, but his lawyers will also be filing a motion for release on the grounds that continued confinement is now punitive rather than coercive. At any rate, anarchists have shown that the community will not take these witch hunts, will not take these grand juries lying down.
Been watching TV all day. Get off the couch. You know what? Why don't you get up and go to the store and bring back some food?
That's what the streets them say. That's what my leaves them say. That's what the Babylon say. Been called up on the lips and get fucked the same way now. That's what the Pentagon say. That's what the general say. That's what the empire say. But death down your throat, you can drop the same way. They shootin'. Made you look at the labels on the food that you cook. Just say no to the cocoa box. Cause when you Google the ingredients, you might get got. Is your milk on drugs? Cause your brain on Fox. Factory farm and spawn in the matrix plot. Globally warm and the saw. Enough cows and knocks. Driving the climbing. Driving the Hummer or not. Drive in like a drive-by. E. coli serves supersize with a side of super lies. So tell me what's more gangster than that? Bullets and burgers to both blades. Burners are black. Breakfast. This is a little like Texas. Petro's everything that you're eating on. My pet store is backyard like Cheech and Chong. My school lunch pack a punch, food fight is on. That's what the streets them say. That's what my leaves them say. That's what the Babylon say. Been cold up on the lips and get fucked the same way now. That's what the Pentagon say. That's what the general say. That's what the empire say. But
death, diet, though you can drop the same way.
What's beef? Beef is when you're 12 years old and obese. Clogged arteries, can't see your own feet. Until you up in ICU, guaranteed to be in ICU. From that processed food, suicide, it's a suicide. Don't want no microwaves, no pesticides. Fast food, slow death in disguise. It's the wild, wild westernized world of deception and lies. What's beef? Beef is when you starve in a famine. Nothing won't grow when the land stays barren. Pollution in the river, mercury in the salmon. What sense do it make to be at war with the planet? We at war for the mind, so impressionable. Instead of vegetables, we reach for Red Bulls. Poor diets kill more brothers than pistols. We fighting for our lives like Michael Vick's pit bulls. Dog eat dog, America eats the young. We die from beef, but more from the meat than the gun. Bullets for breakfast and mass murder meals. Enemy of the state, and your plate is the battlefield. In this food fight, food fight, food fight, food fight.
That's what the streets them say. That's what my least them say. That's what the Babylon say. Been called upon lips and get fucked the same way now. That's what the Pentagon say. That's what the general say. That's what the empire say. But death down your throat, you can drop the same way. That's what the streets them say. That's what my least them say. That's what the Babylon say. Been called upon lips and get fucked the same way now. That's what the Pentagon say. That's what the general say. That's what the empire say. But death down your throat, you can drop the same way.
Food fight, food fight, food fight, 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 fight.
We have never stood by to see a whale die.
Is one whale's life worth war?
Until you find something worth dying for, we haven't really lived.
Whale war is on again. Last week it appeared that the whalers had quit for the season after three failed attempts to refuel. All ships had passed north of 60 degrees south and were leaving the area. Before Sea Shepherd disengaged, they put a tracking device on the oil tanker Sun Laurel, the whalers' refueling ship. This week they found that all the ships had reversed course and were headed back towards the whaling grounds, so Operation Zero Tolerance continues. The Sea Shepherd ships are returning to the area. The Bob Barker is not far away from the whaling fleet. Meanwhile, the weather is turning foul. The choppy water is dispersing plankton blooms and therefore dispersing the whales. It's unlikely the whalers will manage to kill any whales, but Sea Shepherd is determined to make sure that not one more whale dies under the harpoons of Japan's illegal whale poaching fleet. Despite collisions at sea and damage to three of their ships, Sea Shepherd will not permit poaching to continue in the Southern Ocean.